This evening we go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Three verses for our text this evening, verses 6 through 8. God's word. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all people. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Let's ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the kindness and mercy you have shown to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are able to sing your praise, to sing of your love, your glory in your holy name. And we pray now as we open up your word, we ask that you would fill us all with the Spirit. Give me the thoughts and the words that would come only from you. And give us thoughts of joy and worship for you, our great God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. A student was having particular difficulties at home, and the teacher decided that this child was a child of strong nerves, and there was an upcoming program, and the teacher decided he would write a song for the child to sing for the program. And well, the program day came, and certainly the child sang, and many people were touched by the song, but she sang it particularly to her mother. And as she sang, these were the words that the teacher penned for the student to sing. There never was anyone quite like me. I'm the only me that you'll ever see. From the top of my head to the tip of my toes. Oh, 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 I'm special, you know. I'm quite unique, a walking work of art. Strong or weak, we all have our own special place in God's heart. Well, that wasn't a spring program. I don't think you're surprised to think that, but Moses here in these verses is reminding, giving God's word to God's people, that they are indeed special. They have a unique standing among all the peoples, among all the nations of the earth. And far from some sort of sugary feel-goods, Moses is glorying in the amazing love we have been hearing about that in 1 John, about God whose very nature is love. His deeds are love in sending a Savior, one who could be the propitiation for our sins. This morning's passage included the power of God's love, such that we love because he first loved us. These expressions that the people are holy to God. They're God's treasured possession. They have been delivered and redeemed. Reminded me of this phrase that we are who we are because God is who he is. Or we are who we are because God has done what he has done. The source and the origin, the ultimate glory here in this passage for the position of Israel and for the position of new covenant believers in Christ is, he first loved So tonight we draw attention to the amazing love of God on these two points from the passage tonight. God in love chose a people to belong to him. And God in love redeemed that people from slavery unto himself. God in love chose a people to belong to him. And second, God in love redeemed them from slavery unto himself. We begin with God in love chose a people to belong to him. Amazing love. How can it be? We see these words as verses 6 and 7. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you are more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. There's a connection here and elsewhere in Deuteronomy, a connection between God's love and God's choosing. I don't know, we need a linguistic analysis by somebody smarter than me to see whether or not Moses circles around the themes like the Apostle John does. But there's plenty of repetition in the book of Deuteronomy. But chapter 4 and verse number 37 speaks of this combination. And because he loved your fathers and chose their offspring after them and brought you out of Egypt with his own presence by his great power. Similar words are found in chapter 10 and verse number 15. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day. And maybe even more familiar is outside of Deuteronomy is the prophet Malachi as he opens up delivering to the people God's word when God says, I have loved you. And the people, Malachi likes to give us what the people are thinking, what's in their minds and hearts, and the people come back, how have you loved us? Oh, the blindness of their hearts. But then God says, is not Esau Jacob's brother? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. Now, what is all wrapped up in love and hate, but it is most assuredly involved with the electing love of God and the non-election of Esau, left to himself. God in love chose a people to belong to him. And there's a connection between God's love and choosing. In these words in chapter 7, you're a people holy to the Lord. We may ask, how or why? Well, you were chosen to be a treasured possession. How or why? Well, it's not because you're populous or powerful. Well, then why? Why were we chosen? The Lord set his love on you and chose you. Why did God choose you? Has anyone posed that question to you? Why did God choose you? Many times it's a question with the emphasis on you. Why did God choose you? And we're humbled to think about that question. Because we know if the emphasis of the questioner is on you, what's in you that would make God choose you, we have nothing to say. Why did God choose? Why did God love me? Why did God His love is totally free. That's what Hosea says. I will love them freely. Hosea 14:4. It's unconstrained. God has no lack or no need within himself that would cause him to reach out. perfectly satisfied in eternity past with the Trinitarian love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a connection between love and choosing. I ask you to be humbled by this thought. God loves me. But this passage also shows us that there's a disconnection between love and worthiness, between love and merit, and a disconnection between God's love and worthiness and merit. Just when they may be puffed up with pride that God, they're this holy people, and among all the nations, they were the ones that were chosen, he says it's not because you were populous. Or we could, what would population bring? Well, population may bring a certain amount of power. It may bring preeminence, prestige. But he has already told them in verse number 1, they're coming in to face nations that are more numerous and mightier than they are. The wise man of Proverbs says, in the multitude of people is the glory of the king, and few people is the prince's shame. What kind of people did God make covenant with? Well, they were few. Going back to the rock from which they were hewn in Abraham and Sarah, well, it looked like the promises of God may be of none effect, and the people and the promises would go into extinction. But God. Even when they multiplied in Egypt, the threat against the Egyptians was another country coming in, and then Israel joining with the other country and thus being delivered. Moses would have us, and God would have us, to realize there's a disconnection here between God's love and worthiness. God did not look for the most populous or powerful. He wasn't a bandwagon jumper who found the team that had just won the Super Bowl and then bought their jacket. But even more than that, even different than that, it's not like God said, well, I'll take a mid-ranked team. I'll take a fourth-place team and take them all the way to the top. Not even close. Now, if we had had team captains tonight and we were going to choose to have some sort of competition, what kind of competition could we have? We have people of many skills and abilities here. And depending on the competition, you'd probably think you could get chosen. You're probably right. You deserve it. We're having a geography bowl, and 8 people are going to 4-on-4 on each other. We got some math whizzes in here, so we're going to have a math quiz off. Could you be chosen for that? How about a pie baking contest? Maybe you'd be picked for that. Maybe a pie eating contest. Maybe you'd be picked for that. We'd say, oh, isn't it something for us to be picked, to be found worthy, to be one that, because there's something within us, some skill or ability or talent that would make us worthy to be chosen. But God. The source and the origin of God's love is within himself. It's not because of you. It's not because of merit, worth, power, morality, righteousness, even what God could foresee in the future. We are who we are because God is who he is. Amazing love, how can it be? How can we put together the undeserving nature that God emphasizes here to the Israelites and put it together with this free love of God? It seems like it is put together, that combination of undeserved love comes to us in the New Testament as God's grace. Because when Paul tells the Ephesians, You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. In love, he predestined you to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. It's to the praise of his glorious grace. So God's asking us for our hearts to be filled with praise before this God of grace, and for our hearts to be full of humility before him. So may he be praised and may we be humbled as we consider this first point, that God in love chose a people to belong to him. In Deuteronomy, God has much to say about humbling the people. In chapter 8, I'm going to mention now something from chapter 8, where they were in the wilderness. Why did God take them through the wilderness? To humble them. Why did he feed them with manna? To humble them and to test them. That's the past from Moses' point of view. Now he looks ahead. He says, when you get into the land and you begin to have prosperity and wealth, don't say, my power has accomplished that. Later on, chapter 9, when you begin to conquer in Canaan, don't say, it's because I'm righteous that I'm conquering. God says, no, you're stubborn and rebellious. May God be praised and may we be humble. For it's quite the opposite. Far from doing things to merit God's choice of us, we have done the opposite. Just like you weren't the most populous, you were the fewest. And so it is with us. Herein is love, not that we love God. Well, let's press on to a second point. God in love chose a people to belong to him. Isn't that love amazing? But second, God in love redeemed his people from slavery to himself. You were the fewest of the people, verse 8, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God in love redeemed his people from slavery to himself. Three things about this. First, they were redeemed in love according to God's promise. He was keeping the oath. God's word was on it to the fathers. Well, this could have been the people. This is a second generation, the people that had faced Canaan with unbelief, had died off. This is the new generation. So these fathers, the oath that he swore to your fathers, could have been the promise that he had made via Moses in Exodus chapter 3, when he first comes into Egypt and tells these fathers that God is going to deliver them, and bring them into the land. And God's promise goes further back to that, to the father, as it were, the patriarch. Wasn't it Abraham in Genesis 15 when God tells him, there will be in another country, not their own, but I will bring them out with a mighty hand. They were redeemed in love according to God's promise. His word was on the line, and he kept it. Hear Matthew Henry on this. He has done his work because he would keep his word. Nothing in them or done by them did or could make God a debtor to them. But he had made himself a debtor to his own promise, which he would perform, notwithstanding their unworthiness. That's what he says. It wasn't because you're the most, you were the fewest, but God would keep his promise. God wasn't a debtor to them by their works. He was a debtor to his own promise. Second, they were redeemed in love by God's power. The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand. Isn't it true that as strong as our human love is, it has its limits, and there are times it is powerless? We can love to the greatest extent of our hearts, but there are times we know our love, as strong as it is, cannot help, cannot heal, cannot save, cannot protect. Our love is powerless. We long for something to be, but we cannot cause it to be, despite how strong our love is. But the divine love, no superpower could withstand, and no stubborn Pharaoh could stop. This good word from Deuteronomy 4, 32 to 35. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of the heaven to the other whether such a great thing as this has ever happened or was ever heard of. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard and still live? Or has any God ever attempted to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, and by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great deeds of terror, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown, that you might know that the Lord is God, there is no other besides him. They were redeemed in love, but God's love was not merely words of promise, there were deeds of power. Third, they were redeemed in love to be God's possession. It seemed, as it were, their lives belonged to Pharaoh. His power was over them, dominated them. When their days would begin and end, they would begin and end with Pharaoh. They were enslaved, but they were redeemed in love to be God's possession. From the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh. Now, God's saving grace to his people, the Israelites, should remind us of God's saving grace to us in Jesus Christ. One of the reasons why Israel was a special people, among many things, is told to us by Paul in Romans chapter 9, 9:4. They are the Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. From their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ. One among many purposes of God in having a special people is not only to be the seed of the woman, but the seed of Abraham that would come and bring life to God's people. Jesus brings redemption through promise. He is the promised one and promises life to those that would believe. Jesus brings redemption through the power of his shed blood, the power of his perfect life, the power of his resurrection, and the power to bring forgiveness of sins to those that believe on him. Jesus brings redemption by love, that we would be God's possession, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people belonging to God, that we would proclaim the glories of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once we were not a people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not obtained mercy, now we have obtained mercy. All that Matthew Henry says, all that God loves freely, all that God loves, he loves freely. those that perish, perish by their own merits. Those that are saved are done so by divine prerogative. Do not despair of the grace of God. Do not look to yourself. Look to Jesus. We love because he first loved us. As Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Let's pray. Lord God, we give you praise for your love showered upon us. Amazing love, how can it be? That you would choose unworthy people to be your people. That you would send your son for guilty sinners and rebels. Amazing love, how can it be that you, our God, would die for me? Amazing that you loved me and gave yourself for me. Fill us tonight with a wonder your amazing love. I pray this in Jesus' name.